First John chapter 2. Baby Sam. Good boy. First John 2 and verse 12. We'll start there. You'll need your Bibles this morning. A lot of scripture this morning. But something that I think will help you, as it has helped me, in understanding that we are overcomers. Did you guys know that? We as Christians, born again believers, we do not have to live as victims. Did you know that? Isn't it good that we are overcomers? But here's what I like. The best part about that is it's not because of me that I'm an overcomer. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And this morning I want to just take you on a little journey through the Bible. Help us understand why we're overcomers, how we can utilize the Bible in our everyday life to practice the life of an overcomer. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 through 14, the Bible says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the what, church? Everybody know who that wicked one is, right? It's Satan. Ye have overcome the wicked one. He did not say you are overcoming. He said you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are what, church? And the word of God abideth in you, and ye have, here it is again, what does it say? Overcome the wicked one. So how many would agree just in that scripture alone that we as believers, according to the scriptures, are overcomers of this world? We are overcomers. Satan has no power over you. Say that back. Satan has no power over me. Ready? One, two, three. Satan has no power over me. Why? Because you are covered by the blood. And Satan cannot pierce the blood of Jesus Christ. So understand that this morning. You are overcomers. The wicked one, Satan, has no authority over the believer in Jesus. Go to Luke chapter number 10. A lot of Bible this morning. Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter 10 and all the way down in verse 17. I want you to understand the believer in the name of Jesus has power over Satan. Don't ever misunderstand the fact that you in and of yourself have no power. But through Jesus Christ, you have all power. Look at Luke 10, 17. The Bible says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. How? Through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you, what is it, church? Power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So let me ask you this, church, this morning. Unless you give Satan permission to come in and infiltrate your life, does he have the right to do it? He cannot. According to the scripture, he cannot do it. The Bible teaches us he's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The word may is permissible. So what that means is every time that Satan has a foothold in your life, you invited him in. It was a choice to open up a door that you should not have opened and said, Satan, I'm giving you ground to do this. And now when you think about it like that, it doesn't sound very smart, does it? But walking in everyday life, we're just going on and all, this won't hurt me, this won't hurt me, this won't hurt me. Satan's like, you know what? It won't hurt you. Don't worry about it. It might not hurt you bad today. But oh, 10 years down the road, you don't see the end of what Satan's plan is for your life. But church, again, he has no power but what you grant him. Jesus said we have power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Look at verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. But here's what he said. But rather rejoice because your names are written where, church? You know, I started thinking about that. It's a pretty cool thing that Satan does not have power over me. But when I start really thinking about that, it's real easy to start pulling out the big I word when you start thinking about it. You don't have power over me. You don't have power over me. You know what Jesus is saying? Hey, don't worry about that. I've given you the power. Don't worry about that. Here's what you need to rejoice in. Rejoice that your name is written down in heaven. Church, when's the last time we thought about that and just smiled and said, you know what? I cannot go to hell. If I wanted to, I cannot go to hell. You know, we as believers should really rejoice. When's the last time we actually just said, God, thank you for sending your son Jesus? And I'm not talking about repetitively on Sunday morning when we're praying in church. I'm talking about just out of the blue. Surprise God and said, you know what, God, I'm so thankful that you sent your son Jesus so that I did not have to pay the penalty in hell. I'm so thankful that you paid for me. You physically went there for me, paid the price. You died, you were buried, and you rose yourself back up so that I did not have to go through that. I'm so thankful that you allowed me to be part of your family. Thank you that my name is written down in glory. When's the last time we just said, thank you? Church, that's important. The believer in the name of Jesus has power over Satan. Go to James 4, 7. James 4 and verse number 7. Hebrews, James. So how do we make sure the devil stays away? Well, the Bible says in James 4, 7, submit yourselves therefore to who, church? God. And then he says, resist the what? And he will flee. See, church, it's not an option for the devil to not flee when we resist him. Remember, all the way back, we just learned, we have power to tread on all of the enemy. When we openly resist the devil, now how do we do that? With Scripture. How did Jesus resist the devil when he was tempted? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what, church? Word of God. When you resist the devil with Scripture, church, he has no choice but to flee. Why? Because he cannot pierce the Word of God. He can't come through that barrier. He cannot do it. You remember why he was kicked out of heaven in the first place? Because he said, hey, I want to be like you. And God said, no way, bud. Not a chance. And how about the third of the angels that said, you know what, we want to be like you too? He said, well, you can go too. And then guess what? Hell was created. For what? The devil and his angels. And the Bible teaches us that hell enlargeneth itself every day. Why? Because people that weren't supposed to go there are dying and going there, rejecting Jesus Christ every single day. When God created hell, he made it the exact size it needed to be for the devil and those third of angels that followed him. Everybody know that? It's Bible. Hell has to enlarge itself. Why? Because men and women all around us are dying and going there, rejecting Jesus. But church, we have power over that. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Even Jesus himself resisted the devil every time. How? With Scripture. Look at Luke chapter 4. I know it's a lot of Scripture this morning, but this is helping me. I hope it's helping you. Luke chapter 4, verse 4. Look what he said. And Jesus answered him, talking to Satan, saying, it is written that man shall not live by what, church? Bread alone, but by every word of God. Skip down to verse 8. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, who? For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone, him only shalt thou worship. Look at verse 12. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And look what finally happened. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Departed from him for how long? So you know what that tells me, church? That resisting thing, you're going to have to make a habit of that. Why? Because the devil's going to try to infiltrate your mind. Remember, he has no power to actually infiltrate it. He can't do that. You're blood-bought, born again. He cannot do that. But I promise you, he's going to throw little things out there that are going to tempt you. And you're going to have to make a choice. Do I look at it? Do I walk by it? If it's going to tempt you, listen, don't even walk close to it. The Bible said abstain from all appearance of evil. It didn't say abstain from evil. It said stay away from appearance of evil. One of my favorite stories from teenagers, and don't worry, I had the stories too growing up. You hear the teenagers, oh, I was only at the party because I was the designated driver. Well, church, let me ask you a question. If you drive by a party and you see a bunch of people drinking beer and you see your pastor out there, he's not drinking, oh, but he's there, what are you going to think? He's just there to make sure people get home safe. A lot of you are going to have questions for me on Sunday morning. But yet you wouldn't want people questioning you if you were in their shoes. Hello? Come on. Hey, you should be just as blameless as I should be. The Bible teaches all of us to be blameless. Unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we should be preserved blameless. That's Bible. Don't be mad at me, please. We have power over him as believers because Christ has overcame him by his death. Christ tasted death for us so that we could have life, and not just any life. We're to understand that we are victors, not victims. Because of Christ, we are more than conquerors. I want to show you this in Hebrews chapter 2. I know that we rejoice in the resurrection, but look, the Bible teaches us that we're overcomers because Christ died for us. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 9. Hebrews chapter 2. We'll read a few scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 2. Let me get that in my Bible, sorry. Hebrews 2, verse number 9. Says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should what? Taste death for who? Every man. So the next time someone tells you, Jesus didn't die for me, there's a verse right there that you can say, oh yes, he did. He tasted death for every man. He died for all sin. And yes, that's hard to fathom, but listen, each and every one of us have an opportunity to be saved. There'll never be an individual die and go to hell that did not know how to be saved. God said he would enlighten every man. If that were true, if you think that even in the deepest, darkest jungles of wherever in the world, oh, there's no way they're ever going to hear about Jesus, then the Bible's a lie. Because God said he's going to enlighten every man. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christ died for every single individual that you've ever met and every single individual that you're never going to meet. Christ died for all. There's never going to be a man or woman, boy or girl, reach the judgment and say, I didn't know that I was supposed to accept you. And he's going to respond with, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. God's a just God. You know what he's going to say? My son died for you, and I enlightened you. Now, granted, I do believe there's probably people that have more chances than others. I mean, myself included. I don't know why the Lord spared me. I have no idea. Some of you could probably testify to that. Why the Lord spared you? Because none of us are worthy. Really and truly, we're just not. The Bible teaches us that our righteousness is as filthy rags, and we don't even need to get into what those filthy rags are referring to. They're gross. We're gross. Oh, but Jesus, he's pure. Look at this, verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and all the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, look at this, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through what, church? Death. He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham. Church, do you know what that means? That means he took on the sin of all mankind and died for it. The seed of Abraham, that's us. That's you. That's me. That's them. That's those people over there, everywhere. God took all that sin upon him, put it on his son, and died for that sin. Verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Because of Christ, we're more than conquerors. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8. We're not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are what, church? More than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from what? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Satan has no power to separate you from a powerful God. Although we're overcomers indeed, there's some things that we as believers must learn to do. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. See, God gives us some instructions. And, you know, we ought to be okay with the instructions that God gives. Look at verse number 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, what does it say? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the what, church? Wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Did you know that you ought to learn to be strong in the Lord? You know, the book of James chapter 1:22 says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. How can I be strong in the Lord? Well, again, I can say it till I'm blue in the face, but a lot of us know what the Bible says. But here's the question. Do you obey what the Bible says? Do you love what the Bible says enough to live out as best to your ability through Jesus Christ what God said you ought to do? Is your testimony to your church in line with what the Bible says it should be? Is your testimony to your co-workers in line with what the Bible says it should be? Is your testimony to the world in line with what the Bible says it should be? Church, we should be no different on Sunday morning than we are on Thursday and Friday night. We are the same person. We got to act like it and live like it and love being Christ-like. God gives us very clear instructions on some things we should do if we're going to stand against the devil. Be strong in the Lord. How? Well, I just wrote some things down. If you're taking notes, check these out. Number one, how can I be strong in the Lord? I can always let the Bible be my final authority. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that, let's just be honest, if we would have wrote it, we probably wouldn't have put there. Why? I mean, but what does God say about that? He said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. And here's the thing, church. We can go get another version of the Bible, and we can change what God said. It'll be reworded to do what? To fit your lust. I mean, honestly, they'll reword it to make it fit their lifestyle. And you say, well, that's not what they're doing. Then why are they taking away from God's word? What else are they doing? Why do you think God said in the back of the book, don't take away and don't add to? And he didn't mess up. But here's the reality. There's a lot of stuff in there that I'm like, God, why would you put that in there? That pretty much exempts this person, or that does. Listen, I'm not God. But I know this, I'll have to give an account one day. And if I don't let the Bible be my final authority, then who's going to be held accountable? Me. You. We as a church have to understand the Bible is always right and it must be our final authority. If we're going to be strong in the Lord, the Bible must be our final authority. Here's another one. Filter every thought and every decision through the Bible. Every thought you have, every big decision, go to God about that. Open the Bible and see, Lord, is this what I should do with my family? You know, every big family decision that moms and dads make, you know, I wonder how many times you pray about those decisions. It might sound good right now, but how's that decision you're about to make going to affect you later? How's that decision, Dad, that you're about to make going to affect your wife and kids? Filter all your thoughts and all your decisions through the Bible. How about this one? Pray often without ceasing. You know, we should pray about everything. You know, you hear people say sometimes, I don't need to pray about obvious stuff. What's it going to hurt? I mean, honestly, at the very least, you're spending time with the Lord. You're talking to your Father. It's not going to hurt to pray and ask God to help you make wiser decisions. I wonder how many prayed for the church services today, ahead of the church service. I wonder how many prayed for your husband or prayed for your wife or prayed for your children that the Lord would speak to them today while they're here. You know, we don't just come here just to talk and have a good time. I don't know about you, but church wouldn't be church if we didn't hear from the Lord. I don't want to come here if God's not here. I don't want to be a part of anything that God's not a part of. You know, it's like Joshua said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, hey, we want to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. When's the last time you asked the Lord to just bless the services? Bind the devil off of this place. And man, when we come here, we want to hear from heaven. Pray often without ceasing. How about this? Study God's word on your own. You know, look, I heard a preacher say it one time, if all you know is what you've heard, well, you might not know very much. You know, the Bible does say, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now listen, coming to church and listening to preaching, those are all good things, and going to Sunday school class, those are all good things, opening up your Bible and rejoicing and meeting with other believers. Those are all great things, but listen, the Bible is for you. You know, you take that thing home, you ought to use it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And don't always take someone else's word for it. You know, there's a lot of things that men say, and listen, even if they don't mean to say it wrong, sometimes we get tongue-tied, we say things we shouldn't say, and you know, you could open the scripture and, you know, not be honorary and say, preacher, you know, what you said was wrong. Well, look, let me tell you something. I've been tongue-tied plenty of times, and I've been notified about it plenty of times. But look, you know, it's like Moses built the ark, right? Well, if you're preaching and you're not thinking about it, I can't tell you how many times I've probably said that. But, you know, preacher, now you know Moses did not build the ark. What version of the Bible are you reading? Let me think. I don't know what version I studied out of this week, okay? But look, that I'm just saying, you ought to study God's word for yourself. Because guess what? If you're saved, the same Holy Spirit that speaks to your preacher speaks to you. The same Holy Spirit that authored the Bible is living within you and can lead and will lead you and guide you into all truth. Wouldn't it be good to understand some of these things in here? Well, look, the only way you're ever going to do it is to meet with the author. That's the Holy Spirit of God. How about this one? Ask the Holy Spirit that lives within you to reveal truth to you. You know what we just sang this morning? Ask and it shall be. Do you believe that? I wonder why we don't ask. Here's why. Because we don't believe He's going to give us an answer. Or maybe we don't want the answer that we know He's going to give us. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Ask the Holy Spirit that lives within you to reveal truth to you. And when He does, church, listen, don't fight the truth. Because the Bible says the truth will make you free. And here's the deal. You can fight the truth all you want to. You're still the liar. The Bible says, let God be true. And every man a what? Listen, if it's in the Bible, it's true. It doesn't matter if you say, well, I don't agree with that. Who are you? You're just an individual that's supposed to be blood-bought and supposed to believe the Bible until it's something that you don't agree with. Hey, shame on you. There's plenty in there, I told you, that I wish wasn't there. But it doesn't change the fact that it is there. And I appreciate it. I appreciate that God knows more about what I need than Drew knows. I appreciate that God knows more about what the church needs than what we think we need. Aren't you glad that God can see your problems that you don't even know you have? Man, I'm so thankful that we have a Holy Spirit that lives within us. Trust Him. How can you be strong in someone you simply don't trust? We're going to unplug here because I don't want to get caught in the middle of this next session. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you so much for dying on the cross. Lord, I ask you now to meet with us in this next hour. Lord, bless those who are on their way to church. Thank you for those who are here right now. Thank you for your word this morning that we're able to open up. And Lord, thank you so much for showing us in your Bible that we are overcomers of the evil one. Lord, Satan has no power, no dominion over us, and I thank you it's because of the blood of Christ. I ask you now, Lord, to bless us in this next hour. Lord, please meet with us. Lord, bless us in our business meeting later. Let us all be unified in that, Lord. No discord. Lord, I thank you so much for just being a good God. Bless us now in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.